Religion on the Line, 2 hours of exploration into the world of spirituality. Whether it's the basics of faith or the hot-button issues of the day, talk about it now, 576-7710. And now, Religion on the Line.
Good morning. You've got Religion on the Line here at KCMO Radio, Talk Radio, 710 AM, 103.7 FM. This is the time and this is the place about to talk about the intersection between the divine and the human, between our highest dreams and our experiences of base reality. We are waiting for your calls at 576-7710, and we would love to have you be a part of the conversation this morning. Thank you for allowing us to be part of your Sunday morning. I'm Reverend Robert Lee Hill of Community Christian Church, along with
Deacon John Perk with the Diocese of Kansas City, Missouri, St. Joseph, along with
Rabbi Michael Zedek, Rabbi Emeritus, Temple B'nai Yehuda.
And, Michael, we have a beautiful, beautiful weekend here, as we have had a beautiful week.
And the high of in the 70s.
Yeah, and it's even, I think it's going to get into the 80s this week. So,
yeah. I'm not sure that's a good thing.
Well, at any rate, we have much to talk about in the world of religion. And do you want to start us off with some topics?
Oh, let somebody else go first.
Okay, John, why don't you go?
Oh my gosh, I got to get up here.
Well, oh, all right. Next week.
Well, this was an interesting story. It says the name of the story is How the Virgin Mary Blessed the United States. And I only happened upon this because Pope Francis has declared, starting with the Feast of the Immaculate Conception, which is December 8th, he's declared a extraordinary year of mercy to take place for 1 year, which will end on, it'll go from the Feast of the Immaculate Conception, beginning on December 8th, 2015. It will go until the end of November 2016. The intended opening day for the observance coincides with the 50th anniversary of the close of Vatican II. And, of course, this pope is, one of his themes, the songs, is that he's always singing from the depths of his heart, is mercy, mercy, mercy. And he acts out mercy, he does mercy, he promotes it. And the first saint that was canonized in this century was Saint Faustina, who was given these revelations from Jesus called the Divine Mercy. And it's very interesting because Saint Faustina, John Paul II, and Maximilian Kolbe kind of all lived within this same 20-mile radius somewhere in Poland, and they were these great saints of the 20th and the 21st century. And the Feast of Divine Mercy was instituted as a result of those apparitions to St. Faustina. Well, that brings me to the Immaculate Conception and how Our Lady blessed the Immaculate Conception. I just ran across this article by a priest from the Diocese of Detroit. He says that from the very beginning, America was blessed by Our Lady. The three ships were named Santa Maria, the Pinta, and Nina. When you put the meaning of those three words together, they mean Santa Maria, Holy Mary, Pinta, paint, Nina, girl. Holy Mary paints girl. And then 49 years later, Mary painted an image of herself as a young Indian maiden on St. Juan Diego's Tilma, which is in Guadalupe, Mexico. And I just thought, oh my gosh, you know, coincidence or not coincidence? And then it was written that she allegedly appeared to George Washington, who saw the colonies take root and thrive, only to be fiercely attacked and dreadfully scourged on three different occasions. the Revolutionary War, the Civil War, and future conflicts still to take place. So this priest is just asking people to pray for peace for our country, and to, at least for Catholics, she's the patroness of the United States, is the Immaculate Conception, which the shrine is named after in Washington, D.C. Then let me bring up the other one here. This is a troubling thing. There was a Missouri law that protected houses of worship from being, here's what the law stated in 2012. A person commits the crime of disrupting a house of worship if such person intentionally and unreasonably disturbs, interrupts, or disquiets any house of worship by using profane discourse, rude or indecent behavior, or making noise either within the house of worship or so near it as to disturb the order and solemnity of the worship services. Well, a Eighth Circuit Court of Appeals overturned that law and says it violates the constitutional right to free speech. So maybe...
When did that happen?
That happened March 11th. So that is very troubling. And it just defies common sense.
Who brought the suit to try to overturn that law?
The Survivors Network of Those Abused by Priests brought the suit. So certainly you can, you know, you're allowed to protest. This is America, but are you allowed to protest the worship services of somebody else? You know, this means that if what's the name of that Westboro Baptist Church? If they want to enter Bob's church and protest, it sounds like they're able to do it. And so hopefully this will be appealed by the Attorney General.
Isn't there some private property aspect to a church?
Yeah, I would see. I think so. I mean, this will not hold up. If it implies the interior space of a institution, it's not going to hold up, and it'll be overturned. I mean, the overturning will be overturned, and I can't imagine.
And it's the Eighth Circuit, which is, what is that, out of St. Louis, or do
you
know?
You know, I'm not sure where it is.
Yeah.
I just, you know, downloaded it from...
If it includes the grounds, then there is a potential for violation of free speech, because you can say anything that you want on a sidewalk, so...
Right.
Well, anyway, you know, you're... Everybody's free to.
Yes, somebody might know more about this one.
Yeah, if there's an attorney or if there's somebody legally astute about all this, otherwise, give us a call at 576-7710.
And then on the second anniversary of the Pope's pontificate, he says that his inner peace is fueled by the Rosary, which is one of my favorite devotions, and for which I even have a website named ScriptureRosary.com. And he says he prays three rosaries a day. And for those who don't know what the Rosary is a short summary of the Gospels, and it's all put together in 20 mysteries in the life of Jesus and Mary, where the different virtues that they lived are lived in the Scriptures, and it's a way of meditating quickly on the Gospel stories. So it's a meditation on the Gospels. Anyway, he says that it's been a great source of inner peace for him. And then this weekend I was able and privileged to attend a retreat by a priest called Father Jacques Philippe, who will also be at Our Lady of Good Counsel at 9 o'clock to give the homily. He speaks English, but he brought a translator because he's from France. And lo and behold, we were sitting there talking together, and I discover that he belongs to a community just like my community, a newly formed community that is composed of priests, religious, laity, single, and married, that live in community and work on these ecclesial teams, and their spirituality is to bring people to the Beatitudes, especially the Beatitude of Blessed Are the Peacemakers. And so he gave this long retreat on prayer and peace. It was just beautiful.
We're going to need to take a break, and we're going to be right back after these messages.
Kansas City's talk station is KCMO.
Pretty exciting. Oh, these guys are great. They got fresh ideas.
Rob Carson, mornings 5 to 9.
Yeah, come on.
Chris Plant, 9 till noon.
That was hilarious.
Dave Ramsey, noon to 2.
I work too hard for him.
Michael Savage, 2 till 4.
Radio makes you think.
And the Greg Knapp Experience brings you home 4 till 6 p.m.
Everybody believes it. Settled science.
New lineup, awesome content. KCMO Talk Radio 710 and 103.7 FM.
Get the low van price and the van advantage at Van Chevrolet in the Van Autoplex, I-29 and Vivian Road.
Foley Equipment turns 75 this year, and we've got just the birthday gift for you. A nicely appointed 236D Cat Skid Steer for $28,999. Repeat, $28,999. Call 855-CAT-DEAL. That's 855-CAT-DEAL.
Hey, this is Greg Knapp. Do you own your own business? When was the last time you updated your website? Check out DigitalLagoon.com, locally owned and operated. Help you redesign your website. Increase sales. Build that SEO strategy. DigitalLagoon.com/KCMO right now for KCMO listeners.
This is Mark Comfort, owner of Cruise Holidays and Comfort Tours and host of Vacation Views, inviting you to tune in every Saturday morning from 10 to 11, where I will be talking about the wonderful world of vacations. We'll be talking about ocean cruises, river cruises, all-inclusive land-based vacations. And you're going to learn about how to get the best deals. You're going to learn about all the things that you should do or not do, what to pack or what not to pack. You're going to learn everything about the world of vacations. Each week I talk about something uniquely different. I have the representatives from the different cruise lines or the different all-inclusive resorts call in. I have customers that call in and tell you about their vacation so you can learn from the experts. But I invite you to tune in every Saturday from 10 to 11 on KCMO Talk Radio, 710 AM and 103.7 FM. And you deserve a great vacation.
Rediscover your home and office with the help of Cerna Brothers Junk Removal and Estate Cleanout. Whether you have a small hall or an entire estate or office cleanout, Cerna Brothers can do it. Cerna Brothers will even donate your items to the charity of your choice and bring you your receipt. Call today and let Cerna Brothers haul it away. 913-484-9564. That's 913-484-9564. 100% satisfaction guaranteed or double your junk back. Cerna Brothers.
Let's go inside the mind of a 10-year-old.
I should have worn those earrings today. I like those earrings. Gabby has those awesome earrings. I need to ask her where she got those, but that's just what she would want me to do. I'll have Michaela ask her for me.
Buckle up, Sarah.
Yeah, but then Michaela will be like, why don't you just ask her yourself? That's just like Michaela.
Sarah, buckle up.
Michaela's such a great name. I wish I was called Michaela. There's like a dozen Sarahs in my class.
Hey, we're not hitting the road until you buckle up, honey.
Oh, yeah. Seatbelt. I forget sometimes because my brain is, like, busy, you know? I wonder if there's pizza at school today.
Sometimes it can be tough to get through to your kids, but it's not impossible. Always make sure they're wearing their seatbelts, even on short drives. Remember, you have the keys, you have the power. Never give up until they buckle up. A message from the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council. Visit safercar.gov/kidsbuckleup for more information.
Hi, this is Terry Crews, actor, former football player, game show host, father of five, and all-around big dude. I'm also an expert on drama. I know all kinds of drama. There's the good kind that comes with having a house full of kids. There's the bad kind, like season-ending injuries. There's the necessary kind, like having an agent in Hollywood. And there's silly drama, like the drama around my percolating pectorals. And then there's the drama you can skip.
Skip the drama that comes with not having your high school diploma or equivalency. Find free adult education classes near you and finish your high school diploma. Visit finishyourdiploma.org.
Or text DIPLOMA to 97779. Message and data rates may apply. Reply STOP to opt out. That's DIPLOMA to 97779. And leave the drama to actors like me.
Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ed Council.
What are these people thinking? How do you get like this?
The Greg Knapp Experience. Weekday afternoons 4 till 6 on KCMO Talk Radio.
Thank you.
Good morning. You've got Religion on the Line here at KCMO Radio, 710 AM, 103.7 FM. Thank you for tuning us in and allowing us to be part of your Sunday morning. I'm Reverend Robert Lee Hill of Community Christian Church, along with
Deacon John Perk with the Diocese of Kansas City, Missouri, St. Joseph, along with
Rabbi Michael Zedek, Rabbi Emeritus, Temple B'nai Yehuda.
And, Michael, do you have some topics to suggest today?
Oh, why not?
Mm.
First, one of the things that I thought was really quite striking and impressive and intriguing in the possibility of it finding a path for some of the many contentious issues that we often discuss on the show, and even when we don't discuss them, rile and challenge our society at large, is what happened in Utah this week when a overwhelmingly, I think this is an accurate description, Mormon and conservative state, and in which the legislature is overwhelmingly represented by members of the Mormon community, passed an intriguing law. The governor signed it to applause and acclaim for everybody in the state with regard to adding LGBT rights in their anti-discrimination rules and making sure that there was the religious liberty model maintained at the same time. I think it, for those of us who are on the more liberal wing of things on this in this society and certainly on this program, one is impressed that Utah would be leading such a matter because my prejudices, and I'll admit to that, is that Utah tends to be very not in simpatico with my general views on stuff. But I'm impressed with this decision because I think it honors all folks and in a way that is all too rare. But anyway, that I think is quite intriguing, especially that it comes from Utah. Second, this was an article that Dr. Stephen Prothero, I think that's the pronunciation, is a professor of religion at Boston University. He wrote, "God is not one, the eight rival religions that run the world and why their differences matter." He's talking about the headline of the article is "When Every Day Is a Religious Holiday," and it's based on a contretemps that just started in New York as the Mayor de Blasio announced last month that the nation's largest public school system has decided to add two Islamic feast days, Eid al-Adha and Eid al-Fitr, to its days off, that is to say when the schools are closed. And it did get a lot of blowback. Some oppose this new school calendar because of the conviction that the U.S. is or ought to be a Christian nation, or because they fear that Islamic Sharia law is coming to, here, wait for it, New Yorkistan. But the article, he's a teacher at Boston University, and article cites 2010 in Massachusetts, unlike the situation that I just described about Utah, in Massachusetts, school committees in two towns went in opposite directions on the question of Islamic holidays. Cambridge opted for inclusivity by adding Eid al-Adha to the Christian and Jewish holidays that are already recognized. Now, that's a very curious term, because does recognize mean those are days off from school, or does recognize mean simply they're on the calendar so the teachers might be aware you're going to have Muslim students not in class on those days, you know? It already recognized. Harvard tried to be fair to all believers by voting to dispense with religious holidays altogether. I thought, yeah, but you know, one of the issues.
Well, they call it winter break instead of Christmas break, so it's still a break as long as people get their break.
No. I think we're talking about, for instance, when I went to public school, as I think you know, John, and I remember my teachers would have a calendar, and that calendar would indicate Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Sukkot, the Jewish holidays. The school was in session. I had to take off from school in order to honor my holidays. But the calendar would say many Jewish students will not be present. And it was usually the case that teachers would not schedule an exam on those holidays. So, I mean, what holidays in Christian tradition are non-Sunday?
Say that again?
In Christian tradition that have some sense of obligation and do not occur on a Sunday?
You know, Christmas, of course, and Easter.
Yeah,
always.
Well, yeah. Easter's
always Easter always on a Sunday.
Good Friday.
Ash Wednesday, Good Friday.
Yeah. But one would not, but that would not say to someone, you must restrain from your usual activities. You must also participate in this
mm-hmm,
activity.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas in Jewish tradition, and I think similarly in Islam, there are certain days where one restrains from work, one doesn't go to school, etc. But at any rate, that's an intriguing note of tension in our society. Yes, the Supreme Court threw back to the lower court administration, what the administration understands as a compromise contraceptive options for employees, where the university is not obligated to provide it, but the insurance company does at no additional charge to the folks. The court has asked the lower court to review that.
That was the University of Notre Dame.
Right, right. I suppose the real question is a religious-affiliated organization versus a religious organization, because religious organizations are already exempt in terms of the way the law is read and understood. Now the question becomes, what's the definition? Are they religiously affiliated? Are they mm-hmm. religious organizations? Here's a bulletin. The average cost of a U.S. wedding hit a five-year high of $31,213 last year.
Mm. I was telling somebody the other day how expensive weddings were, and they were shocked.
Yeah. And Chicago is the fifth most expensive.
Mm.
$50,934.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness.
It's wow. cheaper to hire a wedding photographer than have the bridal party run red lights.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what that's about, but that's scary, it seems to me.
Well, it is scary because it just centers everything around the event rather than the two persons that are getting married. Now, Michael, I have a daughter in Chicago right now. She went there for St. Patrick's Day. When is the parade?
My presumption is that the parade is Wednesday is St. Patrick's Day, is it not?
Tuesday.
The 17th, right?
Right. So is the river green yet?
John, I had one of those so-called Shabbats that was just horrendous. I did not get home yesterday until 8:15 in the evening because we had some of those things that make a clergy person's life both very intense, very meaningful, and very busy. Unusual for being Shabbat. I spent a lot of time in several hospitals yesterday. So the honest truth is, by the time I got home, the river was dark. That's A. B, the streets were loaded with people wearing green, and it took me forever to navigate successfully, thank God, to get home. Chicago was busy marking in the least positive way St. Patrick's Day yesterday, and I assume that the parade is Tuesday. As I look out my window, there's a major landmark of Chicago which has a clock in it, and the clock has a green face right now. Does not normally.
Michael, have the drinking establishments turned this into like a four-day holiday to get everybody on the weekends, right?
I hope not, but yesterday certainly was a lot of folks wandering the streets.
And there was there's a lot of parades that are not on St. Patty's Day itself. Mm-hmm. There were two big ones here in Kansas City that happen always on the Saturday before normally, before St. Patty's Day.
Well, if I were planning to try to get the largest attendance, I certainly would look toward the Saturday or Sunday afternoon, but I honestly don't know. My suspicion is that the good folks of Chicago are going to do it on St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah, yeah.
As it should be.
We're going to take
such
a break.
An intriguing thing that's turned from... Is there any religious aspect in Catholicism to St. Patrick's Day?
Well, yeah, it's a feast of St. Patrick, but it's supposed to take place in the church.
It's one of those that's been co-opted.
Started, right?
I think that's where the holiday has been co-opted. So we're going to be right back after these messages here at Religion on the Line. You give us a call at 576-7710, 576-7710. We'll be right back.
We all need the Common Core State Standards to prepare students for college and the real world.
Why?
Well, when you're older, you'll need to be able to solve problems in lots of different ways. So you're learning how to do that now.
Is that why my math homework's getting so hard?
Yes, because it's no longer just about memorizing shortcuts. Now you have to dive in and really understand the math. It takes some getting used to.
Like my baby sister.
Kind of, but the standards don't drool on you. Learn more at commoncoreworks.org.
KCMO. Can't get enough talk radio? Get KCMO online at kcmotalkradio.com. Like us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter at KCMO Talk Radio. Stay connected to your favorite personalities and get updates 24/7. KCMO 710. And now on FM at 103.7. Kansas City's talk station, AM, FM, and online at kcmotalkradio.com.
CBS News Update, I'm Heather Bosch.
It just destroyed our buildings. I never seen such cyclone like this before.
Cyclone Pam pounded the Pacific island chain of Vanuatu, about 1,200 miles north of Brisbane, Australia. Vanuatu's president asking the international community for help.
I stand to appeal on behalf of the government to give a lending hand.
At least 10 people confirmed dead, but
the worry is that the number of dead and injured will rise as improving conditions enable them to reach outer islands. 65 of Vanuatu's 83 islands are inhabited. So far, no contact has been made with 33,000 people living on the remote islands.
Sky News, Mark Stone.
There is much to do. The immediate priorities are food, water, and shelter. But with the airport control towers down, getting all that in is extremely challenging.
Cyclone Pam packed winds of 185 miles per hour and 26-foot waves. CBS News Update, I'm Heather Bosch.
The KCMO forecast from KCTV 5.
The second half of the weekend will be the warmest half of the weekend. Tonight, mostly clear skies. We're still in for a cool night tonight with a light and variable wind as the low temperature drops to 39 degrees. After that cool start on Sunday, sunshine returns. South-southwest winds at about 6 to 15 miles per hour, and the temperatures will get rolling as the daytime high climbs to 74. Monday will be even warmer. Enjoy the rest of your weekend. I'm KCTV 5 meteorologist Gary Yamble.
This is why you work so hard to pay the mortgage. Because home is more than four walls and a roof. It's that porch swing on a summer night. It's pajamas with feet and everybody over for Sunday dinner. And that old stuffed chair in the living room you just can't get rid of. This is why you work a second job. This is why you learn to fix things yourself so you could save on repairs. Because home is your place, your memories, your family sleeping in their own beds at night. And that is why we want to help. We are making Home Affordable, a free government resource that can make paying the mortgage easier. And now even more options are available. Call 888-995-HOPE today. That's 888-995-HOPE. Or visit makinghomeaffordable.gov.
Good night, Mama.
This is why. Brought to you by the U.S. Treasury, HUD, and the Ad Council.
This is a guided meditation on parenting. Begin by finding a comfortable, relaxed position. Let out whatever stress is in your body. It could be from the time you left your daughter's blouse in the dryer too long and it shrunk four sizes, or when you donated her private diary to the public library, or when you thought chaperoning the school dance meant actually dancing in the school dance. Whatever it is, let it go. The fire you started with that experimental dinner, let it go. The time you drove away from the gas pump with the gas pump, let it go. Three, very relaxed. Two, there you go. One.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. There are thousands of teens in foster care who don't need perfection. They need you. For more information on how you can adopt, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt U.S. Kids, and the Ad Council.
Not on my watch, our military service members say, as they volunteer to serve, as they move out, stand firm, and take fire. So not on our watch, we say, to the severely ill or injured veterans who can't get the care they deserve to live full and independent lives, even when there's no government funding or a nursing home seems like the only option, we won't leave one warrior behind. Not on our watch. Join us at findwwp.org.
Joe Biden, that beautiful hair job he has, the plugs growing out of his forehead.
Mark Levin, weeknight 6 till 9 on KCMO Talk Radio.
Now, whatever.
Good morning. You've got Religion on the Line here at KCMO Radio. 710 on your AM radio dial, 103.7 on your FM radio dial. This is the time, this is the place, this is the moment. Give us a call at 576-7710. I'm Reverend Robert Lee Hill of Community Christian Church, along with
Deacon John Perk with the Society of Our Lady of the Most Holy Trinity, along with
your Rabbi Michael Zedek, Rabbi Emeritus, Temple B'nai Yehuda. I got two more items if you want them.
Yeah, go for it, and then I'll go for a quick few.
Okay. Survey, people still pray on their own. Religious affiliation drops to record low, but praying rises. Fully 57% of respondents said they pray at least once a day. A little different from 54% in 1983. I think that's different, personally. I think it's quite amazing in the light of the rest of this survey, which suggests American religion is on the ropes, but it has a prayer. A record low share of Americans attend church regularly, affiliate with a religious faith, and see themselves as religious, according to a major survey, and yet prayer... what should we say, the privatization of religion maybe is what that survey suggests. And here's one more, my final item for the day. Unmarried with children is the headline. Rise in cohabitating fuels sociologists' concern about youths facing less household stability. More than a quarter of births to women of childbearing age, defined here as 15 to 44 years old, in the past 5 years were to cohabiting couples, the highest on record and nearly double the rate from a decade earlier. According to a new study from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, 2011-2013.
Did you say one in four, Michael?
I think it was higher. More than a quarter.
More than a quarter.
Yeah.
Children are born into unmarried households.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in some populations...
With cohabitating couples.
Oh, cohabitating couples, okay. In some populations, it's as high as 80%.
Yeah.
Now, Pope Francis called for a 24-hour confession on Friday, and when I was in Chicago a couple weeks ago, the cathedral had already been practicing that.
Mm-hmm.
Just thought it was interesting. He must,
yeah.
The Archbishop must have gotten an inside announcement.
Well, so far he's still enjoying an enormous...
His honeymoon.
Positive... Yeah. Capacity. Although the jokes are endlessly. How do you say supich out of spelling it like that? I mean, come on.
Yeah, really.
Well, let me add some things and segue into that. A newspaper article recently has his popularity at 90% among Catholics, and that includes the ones that don't go to Mass regularly, John. Among those who go to Mass regularly, I think it's 95%. And this is even before he's ever come to the United States. So this is going to...
Specifically American Catholics?
American Catholics. Catholics. And these are going to... I think that those things will go off the charts in September when he visits. I want to... I've got a couple of Catholic things, a Hindu thing, a thing about... it's very interesting. It's related to Hindu culture in India. And a thing about ISIS... And then a religious thing about Oklahoma. So, Oscar Romero is going to be beatified, John, I understand, on the 23rd of May. And the beatification has been announced, and I'm just so glad for this. A great, great, great person and a great leader. So, anyway, my other thing was about that 90-something percent popularity of Pope Francis in the United States. In India, the state is outlawing now beef possession or sale of beef.
It's one particular province state in India.
Yeah, it's one state, a state that includes Mumbai and the financial capital, and it's going to put some. This is a little bit of an acronym. I would not. Say, oh yeah, let's. I've heard all about the Smokehouse Deli, in Mumbai, but that person is really going to be hurt, I think, by that business. And just the slaughter of water buffaloes is still allowed, subject to permission from the authorities. It just, this is that intersection between civil law and religious belief, and I just thought it was interesting. ISIS is wreaking havoc not only with human beings, which is the most horrific aspect of what they're up to, but also destroying ancient sites. The Associated Press, these are sites that were pagan, as it were, but even, you know, Catholicism didn't go through Rome and wreck every temple that was raised to a Roman god. But ISIS,
many of them were transformed into churches.
Yeah, yeah. And India, I mean, in ISIS, rather, this is prevailing, and it's disturbing to me, I think. In Oklahoma, did you see that the, I think his name is Mr. Ross, has a bill was passed this past week abolishing, this is the opposite of some of the solutions, at least that you and I have suggested, Michael, about how to deal with same-sex marriages. Mm-hmm. To take it, you know, have the a civil ceremony. If you want a religious ceremony, go to your religious community of faith. This abolishes all civil aspects of marriage licenses and puts it in the hands of the clergy. Very interesting. I think that'll... it'll be interesting to see if the Senate of Oklahoma passes it, and if Governor, I guess her name is Phelan, will pass it. It'd be interesting.
Interesting if it passes, what's the constitutionality in this country,
yeah,
of the only option is a religious community for marriage.
Yeah, this Mr. Ross, who proposed the legislation and led the charge, said, well, they can go get a common law marriage certificate from the state. They're trying to avoid the issue of even endorsing or even allowing same-sex marriage events. So.
Is it quote-unquote legal in Oklahoma at the moment, or is Oklahoma...
No, they had banned it, but then it got overturned.
Yeah, so it's legally enforceable until and unless whatever the Supreme Court decides later this year.
Yeah, yeah. Now, the only other thing is there's a spate of great books out right now. Wendell Berry has one called Our Only World. Donald Hall, it's very interesting. I'm kind of quoting him in today's message about how he is, he says new poems don't come to him anymore, that he is... not resigned, he doesn't say, but he's designated and dedicated now to prose. And Essays After 80, with a picture, I'm showing it to John right now, that is, looks like a prophet. Very straggly beard and everything. And then Desmond Tutu has a beautiful book called In God's Hands that the Archbishop of Canterbury has chosen for his Lenten reading for the year 2015. So we want to suggest to our listeners, if any of these topics are of interest to you, please do give us a call at 576-7710-123. I'm counting about 17 or 18 topics that have, and what is usual is that all of these are ignored, and somebody calls in just about what they want to talk about, which is absolutely wonderful. Whatever is on your heart, mind, and soul, please do give us a call. What about this, John? What about this, Michael? Do you remember Malcolm, is it named Gladwell, and yep, what he says in Outliers about what it takes for mastery of something?
10,000 hours.
10,000 hours. So that's 5 years and 9 months of, you know, 8 hours a day of doing something. And that means it takes a long time to no wonder the Jesuit route to, you know, full priesthood is pretty long, to get it right, to get it real drilled into you, to get, you know, lots of discernment going on. But I've been thinking about that lately. What have I done for 10,000 hours? What have I already mastered? And would what I've mastered, you know, kind of be an embarrassment? You know, I love baseball. Is that the top of my – have I spent a lot of time thinking about baseball Have I spent enough time about the things that I really want my life to count for? How many hours will I be willing to devote? And if you think of the future, not being able to devote something yourself to it for, you know, 8 hours a day, but just say a couple of days, you're going to be in this hunt for mastery for a little while. It's just humbling. If Gladwell is right, and I think he's close to right, but if he's right.
How long does it take to get a doctorate?
Well, I mean, depends.
I mean, that's just a master.
That's for sure.
Yeah.
Now, listen, you guys, I know that I have some news for you, but I beat you to the fish fry that Madeline gave us the tickets for because neither one of you have been reported as being seen on site.
I have not. I have not.
By the way, I hope Madeline's listening because she sent an app. I've just been so far behind. She sent an absolutely lovely note that even included a ticket to the fish fry to me.
I love it.
And I've got to respond to Madeline's wonderful letter. So, Madeline, it's on my to-do list, I promise you, and God bless you most definitely. Mm. Didn't we have an email from last week that we didn't get
to? You know
to?
What? We're going to get to that, Michael, but we're going to have to wait until after the break. We'll be right back after these messages.
Kansas City's talk station is KCMO.
Pretty exciting. Oh, these guys are great. They got fresh ideas.
Rob Carson, mornings 5 to 9.
Yeah, come on.
Chris Plant, 9 till noon.
That was hilarious.
Dave Ramsey, noon to 2.
I worked too hard for him.
Michael Savage, 2 till 4.
Radio makes you think.
And the Greg Knapp Experience brings you home 4 till 6 p.m.
Everybody believes it. Settled science.
New lineup, awesome content. KCMO Talk Radio 710. And 103.7 FM.
Who might you save?
Your mother, your father, your husband, uncle, aunt, son.
Learn FAST, F-A-S-T, the sudden signs of a stroke, and you could save
your friend, your best friend, teacher, boss, coach.
F, face drooping. A, arm weakness. S, speech difficulty. T, time to call 911. F-A-S-T, face, arm, speech, time. That's F, face drooping, A, arm weakness, S, speech difficulty, T, time to call 911. The sooner they get to the hospital, the sooner they'll get treatment, and that can make a remarkable difference in the recovery of
your neighbor, the waiter, a fellow shopper, a total stranger, grandmother, grandfather.
So learn FAST, the sudden signs of a stroke, then pass it on, because you never know who might save you.
Your wife, your colleague, teammate, mother.
Spot a stroke fast. Visit strokeassociation.org. Brought to you by the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
You may know that Doctors Without Borders provides medical care in emergencies around the world. But did you know that the majority of our patients are women and children? Providing women's health care in the places we work can be extremely challenging, but it's incredibly important. Saving a mother's life can mean saving at least one additional life, since children who lose their mothers are far less likely to survive. They need her, and we need her, because tomorrow needs her. Go to womenshealth.msf.org or hashtag tomorrow needs her.
Hi, I'm Matt Kenseth. You don't have to be a race car driver to know that life can be full of drama. Some of it you can't control, like mechanical issues, high winds, and rain delays. But there's some drama you can skip.
Skip the drama that comes with not having your high school diploma or equivalency. Find free adult education classes near you and finish your diploma. Visit finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org.
You just need to take that first step and find free classes near you and leave the drama for the racetrack.
Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ed Council.
They'll challenge your authority. They'll try to break your will. They'll push you to the edge of your sanity. Because that's what kids do. But this car is your territory, not theirs. Defend it. Who makes the payments? Who cleans it? Who drives it? You do. That's who. And in here, your word is law. So when you say you won't move until everyone's buckled up, you won't budge an inch. Until you hear that click. Never give up until they buckle up. A message from the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council. For more information, visit safercar.gov/kidsbuckleup.
On the battlefield, there's a saying America's military men and women live by. Never leave a fallen warrior behind, ever. Off the battlefield, Wounded Warrior Project operates with the same goal. We leave no warrior behind. Wounded Warrior Project is a nonprofit organization created to help our men and women returning home with the scars of war. Whether those scars are physical or mental, we're here to make sure that they heal. And whether it's helping those with post-traumatic stress disorder live a normal life again, or giving much-needed support to injured warriors and veterans' hospitals, because no one deserves our help more than the men and women who risk their lives to keep us safe. Wounded Warrior Project. We never leave a fallen warrior behind. Ever. Learn more about what we do at WoundedWarriorProject.org.
Hi, it's Chris Plant. Join me weekdays from 9 to noon here on KCMO, Talk Radio 710 and 103.7 FM.
Good morning. You've got Religion on the Line here at KCMO Radio 710 on your AIM radio dial, 103.7 on your FM radio dial. I'm Reverend Robert Lee Hill of Community Christian Church, along with
Deacon John Perk with the Society of Our Lady of the Most Holy Trinity, along with
Rabbi Michael Zedek, Rabbi Emeritus, Temple B'nai Yehuda.
Well,
I just got one quick prayer announcement. I want our listening audience to pray for a young man named Eric who lost his life yesterday in a car wreck.
Yeah. So sad. Do you know this family or know this young man?
I do. Yeah,
definitely.
He always treated me with great respect.
And how old do you know, John?
35.
We will definitely keep Eric and his family in our thoughts and prayers. And we would treasure your calls, like Jack did, here at 576-7710, 576-7710. And do we have any, before we go to Jack, do we have any emails?
Well, we have one from last week, but go to Jack.
All right. Jack, you want to talk about what the Bible says about homosexuals, right?
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out when he, that is Jehovah, changed his mind about it. Because according to what I've read in the Old Testament and in the New, he looks at it as an abomination.
You mean the practice of homosexuality?
Well, yes, sir.
Yeah, okay. Which I agree with you. I agree wholeheartedly that that's the Word of God, and that's what he's communicated to us through his Word.
How do you want to take on the conversation, Jack? Do you want to talk about the authority of the Bible? Do you want to talk about context?
That's what this is all about, right?
It's yeah,
the authority
I think
of God's word, not man's opinion.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
So this week in the Bible, we read that anyone who violates the Sabbath shall be killed. We don't honor that anymore, do we?
So are you trying to justify?
No, I'm trying to point out that we study the text.
That lifestyle.
I don't worship the Hebrew Bible. I study it. I look at it. I understand their values in it. I understand there are statements that we no longer subscribe to because we actually do know things, because it speaks in the language of human beings. It is not without error. It is not without accretion in my understanding of how one interprets it. And if you look at the specifics, there's endless numbers of things that it calls inappropriate or across the line, etc. And yet we do them, and we understand that we may have the correct values in doing them. I would add that if you look at the context of Leviticus, it's only about male homosexuality. It says nothing about female, which seems curious. And it's generally understood by many scholars, not all, because some are in your camp, no question about it, and that's why our society will continue to fight around this, is that they were condemning Canaanite religious rites and rituals. They didn't know from homosexuality as a circumstance that was beyond a person's capacity to have any impact on whatsoever. That's post-biblical awareness. At any rate, but we just simply have a different approach to text. Bob, you want to?
Yeah, I would. I don't think that we're going to get very far, Jack, in answering in the right way that you believe that we should answer. If I point out that the sin of Sodom and Gomorrah was not homosexuality per se, but is as Ezekiel describes it, as an excess of gluttony and pride and kind of lying at ease in Zion and not aiding the poor and needy. If I point out what Michael did, that there was a lot of the holiness code from the Hebrew Bible that neither Jews nor Christians follow these days, we can get into a hierarchy, but there's overwhelming agreement that almost all of us are going to stop at the death penalty and say that's not appropriate for a disobedient teenager or a disobedient child. We're going to, John, let me finish, please. We have a different way of viewing the text, Jack, I think. Are we going to look at it as a relationship between two consenting adults, or are we going to see in the context, it looks like, again, as Michael said, there's many a scholar that will say one thing, conservative and liberal, and then there's a few that will still hold to the homosexual act as the absolute premier thing that needs to be resisted. There was rape and injustice practiced, and many of the holiness codes have to do with those aspects of human interaction and not just homosexuality as being expressed between two adults. Do we live in the same context as the Hebrews did of, what is it now, 5,000 years ago or older? Hesitant to go much farther because I think we're going to say to each other, we just can't talk with each other, that we're not going to get very far down the road.
Having a decent conversation about the fact that we have a gulf.
Yeah. How the Bible is authoritative is the question for those of us who are who do not take the Bible as inerrant and infallible. We do not take that. I take it seriously. I don't take it infallibly.
In regards to the holiness code, the punishment for violating the holiness code has changed. But I don't think anybody would argue that when it says that if a child curses his parents, he should be stoned. Well, sure, take away the stoning part, but a child should never curse their parents because there's a positive command of honor your father and your mother. And so the prohibition against homosexuality and the stoning for that prohibition, okay, so you take away the punishment, but there still is a prohibition in the Word of God against those acts. Paul's very explicit about this because our bodies are temples. Don't interrupt because I didn't interrupt you. Bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit, and we're called for this communion with God, and he's a very jealous lover. Why would you give up
communion?
Why would you give up communion with the Creator for the creature?
Yeah.
Because some of us believe.
Jack, we thank you for your call.
Not only for heterosexuals.
We thank you for your call. We'll be back with these and other topics here at Religion on the Line, 576-7710.